Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin, and today I'm speaking to Natasha Brown. A British writer, she studied maths at Cambridge before spending a decade working in the finance industry. In 2019, she received a London Writers Award in the literary fiction category, where she developed her very well-received debut novel, Assembly. Natasha Brown, welcome to Monocle Reads.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I read your book in one sitting. Granted, it's not long, but it's utterly, utterly compelling. And for me, what it felt like was that all of the literature that came out of the Black Lives Matter movement had come of age, that this was part two, that this was sophisticated, beautifully written, utterly moving and challenging read that made one question everything in a way that perhaps previous literature had been a little like a blunt cosh over the head. This was a silken untangling of all of these threads that make this argument.
Wow, thank you.
I'm not really sure what my question is.
A lovely thing to hear. Thank you.
I guess what I'm asking is, this seems to me the natural successor of all of the first wave of literature that came off the back of the Black Lives Matter movement.
I think the great writing and thinking, sorry, that's been done at the moment, fed into how I approached Assembly. But I also wanted to look backwards. So I started reading a lot of, Frantz Fanon, Bell Hooks, Cornel West, a lot of some of the older thinking that I hadn't been exposed to during my education, and really tried to understand how they were approaching some of the same challenges and topics that we're talking about today. And also digging a little bit deeper and reading some more, I suppose, critical theory around structuralism and post-structuralism, getting a basic foundation in linguistics. All of this, it seemed to me, was really important to understand, to try and get the right vocabulary to talk about what our current moment looks like, because I think it's quite complex. And so I wanted to come at it with as much background information as I could. But I think there's a lot in some of the older thinking and writing that's been done that I felt was really helpful to feed in to, I guess, the conversation today.
And I mean, so the basic story is Black British woman working in the finance industry, much like yourself. She's preparing to go to a lavish party at her boyfriend's family estate, that very English and all the rest of it. And into that, you have written some of the most excruciating lies. I mean, it's a real examination of colonialization. But the way you talk about how bones are broken to fit into the system and so on. It's extraordinary.
Oh, thank you. I really wanted to kind of take this idea of a physical experience and what the narrator experiences as she moves through the different spaces she enters, physically what she hears, what she sees, what she feels, and try and marry that with, I suppose, the thought she's having and the conversations that she wants to be able to have. Because I think sometimes we focus too much on the theory or too much on the physical. And I sort of wanted to really examine the interplay between the two.
Now, previously you've talked about this book saying that you wanted to write something in which a person of colour has it all but still isn't totally happy. Just unpack that for me.
Sure. Yes, I don't think that was kind of my intention going into writing Assembly, but it was something I noticed when I was looking at it as a whole and really doing some of the structural big piece edits. A lot of the novels and stories I've enjoyed have been about characters who, you know, are quite comfortable, are quite happy, but are still dissatisfied for one reason or another. Hanif Qureshi's Intimacy was a big influence, I think, on my approach. And it's very much that sort of story. I think that because we are still at the point where we don't see all that many stories where a Black woman achieves what she sets out to achieve, when we do see it happen, it's usually the end of the story and a moment of gratitude and happiness. And I wanted to interrogate a bit, well, what happens afterwards? Because I think for a lot of folks my age, we're sort of getting to that point where we've had a bit of a, not a full career, but we've got a grounding in our careers and looking at really what comes next. I felt that it would be helpful to, not exactly helpful, but interesting to try and look at that type of a narrative, but with a different sort of protagonist.
Well, tell me about your own life, because clearly this feeds very much into the book.
I'd say yes and no. I think the broad strokes of our lives are similar, but the narrator is a very different woman to me. I think what's really been interesting in the conversations that have come out of you know, people starting to read Assembly and react to it, is that so much of it seems to translate across industries, across countries. Folks who I would have thought would have had a very different experience to me have been able to find something that resonated with them. I think there's something about, I think maybe it's kind of, I look at my life as very shaped by the credit crunch, and that sort of influenced how I've approached, I suppose, my career and my life choices since then. And I think perhaps for a lot of folks, it's kind of been this looming disaster that's affected how we think about success and how we think about happiness.
Mm-hmm. And it basically talks to about how every level of racism happens during a day, and it's described in an utterly clean and emotionless way.
Well, I think that to experience racism as a daily experience, there is a bit of just normalizing it and getting used to it, because otherwise, if every sort of bad thing that happens to a person over the course of the day completely stops you, I don't think you can move along with your life. So I really wanted to sort of explore what happens to a woman where she just keeps sort of having these tiny cuts happen to her every day. How does that affect the way she looks at the world, the way she thinks about herself, the way she considers her future?
Mm. The book goes into not only race and sexual politics, but it also goes into the British class system and how that intersects between the class system and race and immigration, work, sexual politics. Tell us more about that.
So I felt that as a Black person, I don't always feel 100% within the class system. I think sometimes you're grouped into a class, but sometimes you're sitting a little bit on the outside of it. And I felt that that was an interesting way of exploring class and writing about class, perhaps from a slight remove to take a different look at it. So I was definitely interested in understanding how the various subtleties between the classes of the different characters influenced, or I suppose coloured, how they interacted with one another. But at the same time, I think I'm just generally quite interested in, I guess, the relationship between capitalism and race and how that's kind of evolving at the moment and sort of transforming into something new and perhaps something a bit more class related. I don't know that I have a particularly sophisticated view on it, but it's one of those things that I felt fiction was a great way to explore.
Mm. And I mean, you also go into the difference between wealth versus money.
I think income and wealth are often conflated, and I do understand why, but I think it's not always the most useful way of thinking about problems of income inequality and inequality in general. So I really wanted to kind of not laser focus in on it, but just have a bit of a contrast between someone who I suppose is coming from old money and someone who has a high income at a particular moment in time, and just see how that sort of affects how comfortable they feel and how secure they feel in their life.
Yeah. I love the bit on Brexit and what double standard this is.
I think the whole Brexit dialogue has been just sort of interesting and fascinating to observe, because again, I feel somewhat as a Black person, a little bit on the outside of that conversation, despite being British. But I think Britain, as well as other European countries, are really clarifying what their identity means today. And it's just been interesting to watch. And I think there is this weird intersection with how race is handled across Europe, because I think different countries do seem to handle it slightly differently. And I suppose identity is complex, and how we think of ourselves and our national identity is complex. So I just kind of, I felt there was some interesting, I suppose, ideas to poke around with.
And of course, a lot of the book is concerned with choice and the power of choice, even if that choice is ultimately destructive.
Yeah, I think choice and also lack of choice. I think the sort of core dilemma that the narrator faces is that no matter what she does, if she's successful, if she's unsuccessful, it's cast into a particular narrative that's entirely determined by her race. She doesn't really have a choice to kind of do anything other than live by that narrative. And it can feel a bit restrictive, I think. And I really wanted to get inside that dilemma, that problem, and see how it feels for her on the individual level.
The structure of the book is absolutely fascinating. Tell us about that.
Well, I really wanted to choose a form or multiple forms that best told the story. And I think because I came at writing fairly late in life and I'd been a reader, I'd read sort of tons of fiction, tons of nonfiction, poetry, short stories. For me, there wasn't a clean sort of line between each of these different forms. They all felt like things I could pinch from to try and put this story together. So I tried to come at the various scenes, the various ideas from a lot of different angles and write them different ways and try and piece together, assemble, if you will, the best kind of shape for the whole story to take, because I think certain scenes suit a more sort of, I guess, contemporary voice, you know, clear, it's clear who's speaking, what's going on. Other scenes, I think it's kind of interesting to defamiliarize what's going on a bit by changing the voice slightly, by changing the form on the page. So I found it really interesting to play around with all of these elements. But at the core, I always wanted to make sure that it wasn't annoying to read. I felt it was very important that it felt natural and it felt right to the story.
And it totally does. And as you say, I mean, there are multiple forms in here. And I mean, sometimes it reads like poetry. Other times it's just where the train is going to. I mean, it's very, I don't think I've seen a book written in this way before. I think you've done something utterly unique here. Well, publishers clearly agreed because this book was snapped up. Tell us about that process.
It was really exciting. I think I'd written this weird manuscript that was a bit hard to classify, and I wasn't too sure where it would sit and whether or not it would really seem like it was commercially viable, I suppose. But I found Emma Patterson, who's my agent, and she really helped me to kind of get it into the right shape and figure out the right way to pitch it. And then I think it was just like a wonderful couple of weeks where editors were reading it. I spoke with Hermione and she just had the best vision for it and it felt really just right. So it's kind of a dream to be published by Hamish Hamilton. I wouldn't have expected it to sit there, but they've all just been so great and allowed me to kind of keep it close to what I was trying to do, even if it's a bit odd.
And is that the end of your finance career then? You're a writer now.
I'm taking a break. I don't know about... It seems odd to me. I don't think in my mind yet I fully understand writing as a career, only because I don't know that I would want to have to keep in mind this is my source of income when I'm writing. I think it would kind of make me perhaps not necessarily write the way that I would want to write certain stories. And I think that's probably just because I'm new to it and I don't know how to separate those things out just yet. So I'm keeping it as a fun activity for myself at the moment.
Mm. What's next for you, Natasha?
I am writing again. It's a bit... As I say, I'm fairly new to writing, so I'm really trying to find my voice, find other stories that I'm interested in telling, exploring a bit with nonfiction writing, just generally trying to create and see what inspires me, I guess.
Well, I couldn't recommend this book more highly. It's called Assembly. It's by Natasha Brown. It is published by Hamish Hamilton. It's out now, and I absolutely want to press a copy on everybody I know. Natasha, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Monocle Reads. Thanks to our producer, Nora Hull, and researcher, Sophie Monaghan-Coombs. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.